My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
C-Suite Radio.
Want Instagrammers and YouTubers to mention your brand? Or do you want to influence an audience to buy your product? I'm Jason Falls, author of the book Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. In this podcast, we explore the people, companies, campaigns, and stories that illustrate the difference between using influencers and actually influencing. Welcome to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Hello again, friends. Thanks for listening to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Can you achieve influence marketing traction, then success, without having to pay influencers? We've asked that question several times on this show, and it's a bit of a controversial one. One perspective is you might be able to, but you shouldn't. You are, after all, getting not just access to someone's audience, but also their talent in creating content, plus the content you can then negotiate to use. All three of those elements are worth money you would have to invest otherwise to get the same output. So why disrespect the creator by asking them to post for just product? But then there are creators, mostly micro and nano influencers, who might be happy to just receive free product in exchange for a post. Those just starting out want to appear to be successful and big enough to warrant brands approaching them. Plus, they can also use the product-only content to prove their audience is responsive or their content is successful enough to convert customers. That leads to them making more real dollar collaborations down the road. The answer to most questions in the marketing world applies here. Can you gain traction or be successful with influencer marketing without paying the influencers? It depends. One person who can illustrate how to do it successfully is Taylor Lagasse. He's one of the co-founders of a company and application called Kinship. That's K-Y-N-S-H-I-P. They are focused on product seeding to drive organic influencer placements. That's right. Seed product with influencers. No payments on top of that. And they post everything from unboxing videos to honest reviews and endorsements of your brand. If you're a regular listener to this show or an influencer creator advocate, that approach on the surface is probably going to irritate you. My stance has always been that you're asking for an influencer's time, creative talents, and access to their audience. You should pay them. But give Taylor and Kinship's philosophy here a listen. They simply ask content creators if they'd be interested in receiving the product. For those that say yes, they ship them the product. And that's all they ask for. Their approach is a no-strings-attached one. There's no requirement for the recipient to post anything. They only do so if they wish to. And the results Kinship's customers are seeing are quite impressive. I tried to shoot some holes in the philosophy with our conversation, but quickly realized Taylor and his team have emerged as the reason it depends is often the answer to marketing questions. Paying influencers to post isn't a black or white issue. I think when you'll hear what he has to say, you'll agree. I also think for you brand or agency folks out there listening, you'll very quickly lose your skepticism that just sending product out without asking for something in return is a bad idea. Before we get to that, it's time to spend a moment with one of the customers of our show sponsor, Tagger. It's a complete influencer marketing solution. You can find out more for yourself at jason.online/tagger. We've been talking recently to Meredith Jacobson, an independent influencer marketing consultant. She was on a past episode of the show to tell you about how she uses Tagger with We Are Boosters. When we last left off, she was talking about the power of Tagger's discovery tool in searching for the right influencers but I wanted to know more about the confidence she has in what creators Tagger recommends. How confident are you in the information that you're getting about these influencers on Tagger, especially with regard to understanding whether or not you're looking at influencer fraud, fake followers, etc.?
I think it's the first line of defense. And so I appreciate the tools that they have, the ability to filter for brand safety and to see the percentage of authentic and inauthentic audience. And, you know, it's just sort of a nice, it's a nice indicator. I also like the growth metrics of being able to see that a creator is one of the fastest growing, either in a time period or in a category. And I think that's a really strong indication of content health that I certainly trust from Tagger.
I would assume that you would recommend Tagger to other people.
You bet.
Thanks to Meredith for sharing her experiences with Tagger. To start building your own experiences with my influencer marketing software of choice, go to jason.online/Tagger today. Oh, and you'll hear a bit more about Tagger in today's episode. Taylor and Kinship use Tagger too. Get to know how product seeding without paying influencers can work and work well. Taylor Lagasse from Kinship is next on WinFluence.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Taylor, you've been going off with some long Twitter threads lately about how to attack influencer marketing without having to pay influencers. Now, we've talked about ways to do that on this show, why you should in some instances, why you shouldn't in others, and so on. So get a little bit deeper for me. Tell me what you mean when you say brands can approach influencer marketing without having to pay them.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of a controversial stance, but a lot of the time we do say, and I can circle back to how it is we mean this, but a lot of the time we do say the influencer pay for post model is dead. Not because there, you know, aren't success stories out there, and not because, you know, brands aren't winning within the pay for post model. We just think there can be greater wins to be had within a model that entails influencer seeding. I'm sure we're going to go into that today. We'll go into a case study today, as well as just hand deliver how to do that internally for brands listening in today as well.
So product seeding makes sense to me. A lot of businesses do it. What you're saying is, instead of reaching out to an influencer and asking how much do you charge per post and whatnot, you're basically just going to send them free product and hope that they post about it. But my questions here, let me start with, we're probably talking about the success rate for influencers who actually do this are probably going to be, in my estimation, micro and nano influencers mostly. People who may not even consider themselves influencers, who are just really delighted to get a product. My concern about this approach has always been that you're just kind of throwing pasta against the wall to see what sticks. It may not be the pasta you were hoping for. Am I wrong?
Well, it's a numbers game. Well, it depends what you mean by pasta. Are you talking about the creative that ultimately gets produced by these influencers?
Well, that's one output, but also the output of getting, you know, attention for my brand and getting, you know, getting recommendations from the right people, not just whomever will say yes.
Well, yeah, you got to make sure the vetting process is dialed in. Every single influencer you ultimately do outreach to, you have to make sure that they're a brand fit, demographic fit. They have the proper engagement you're looking for. They have that niche audience you're looking for. And just as importantly across the board as all of that is they're a great video content creator. And so there is a white glove approach to this. You can't just go in and say, hey, here's all the quantitative data, you know, that creates the makeup of the influencer I'm going after. You got to do that. You got to make sure every single influencer aligns with that. But then you have to have a white glove approach. Not only, like I'm saying, they have to be a brand fit, persona fit, demographic fit, but video content creation ability has to be there as well. So do they capture my attention the first 3 seconds? Are they thumb stopping? Does their content jump off the screen? Are they charismatic? Can they hit the value adds of my product if I put it in their hands? Like, long story short, the lens we're looking through in this white glove approach is, could they sell me on my product if I put it in their hands through their video content?
Okay, so that tells me that you're looking at a higher quality of content creator slash influencer out there than just throwing it out there to anyone, which also then reinforces my concern of what's your success rate here? What percentage of these influencers that you're sending these products out to are actually going to post about the products, because the audience that you're talking about with that sort of dialed in vetting process, in my experience, are the influencers who are going to say, well, how much are you going to pay me? I'm not going to do this for free.
Yeah. I mean, the people that we're reaching out to, Jason, normally, if you reached out to them in a pay for post way, like if you reached out to them saying, hey, we want to gift you product in exchange for a post, no chance. They're not going to do it, Jason. But it's the way that you reach out to these individuals. So yeah, predominantly we are reaching out to individuals between 5K and 150K followers. And the way that we're reaching out is different and unique than the rest of the marketplace. It's just saying, hey, Jason, we think you're a great brand fit. We absolutely love the content you consistently put out. We think you'd love our product, and we want to send it to you, no strings attached. And we even over-communicate at this point. And what we mean by that is, we have no expectation whatsoever of you to post. Just send us your address. We'll get this right out to you. This, of course, Jason, in the back of our minds, we do have expectations that come from this. So to speak to the numbers, on a month-to-month basis for the brands we're coming alongside and partnering with, we'll reach out to 500 influencers. And you can run this math for any amount that you outreach and identify. So we identify and outreach to 500 influencers using that vetting system. You make sure all 500 of those, or however many you ultimately reach out to, are quality. You're confident. And if any of them end up posting, you're happy with them. You love them. And you are happy that these people are flag bearers of your brand. Out of those 500, we typically see a minimum of 20% opt-in to receive the product. So 100 out of 500. And then out of the people that end up receiving the product, we typically see a minimum of 30% of those people end up posting free of cost, on average, 2 to 3 pieces of media each. That can be 3 IG stories in a row, an IG story post, and then a TikTok post separately, etc. So you ultimately get, for what? The cost of sending out 100 products, say your product is $20, $2,000 investment, to ultimately get 30 influencers posting 60 to 90 assets. Where's an influencer agency that can provide that at that cost? And then we're following up with a message saying, hey, Jason, so glad you love the gift we sent you so much, so you're willing to share this content with your audience. Hey, we'd love to be able to share this content with our audience as well. Can we have the right to do so via paid and organic social for 30 days? So a less aggressive ask, not asking it for perpetuity. Those red flags don't go up. 150K to 5K to 150K followers. There's no managers or agents involved to, you know, ask for more money for usage rights. 60 to 90 assets from 30 influencers being posted and being able to be repurposed onto paid media for $2,000, the COGS of 100 products, whatever that is for you, that doesn't exist out there. And so if you're able to do this internally and build out processes, it can be very valuable for you and your team.
So have you found that different products, or I guess perhaps, you know, value levels of, you know, manufacturer suggested retail price or whatever you're sending the influencer, have you found that different products or values change the equation a bit?
So I basically just spoke to the minimums. We'll walk through a case study today where, you know, their post rate's over 50% and the average, you know, amount of content that's posted is more than the 2 to 3. But I would say the higher the post rate or the higher the opt-in comes with, one, obviously brands that offer physical products. There's plenty of like B2B companies out there offering services, and there's still opportunity there, where you can, you know, get creative and figure out a physical product that is representative of your service and then seed that out. But products that, you know, and brands that have physical products that they're able to send out to these influencers, a lot of the times when the COGS of that product is less than $40, it is a lot easier. Because again, 40 times 100, that's $4,000. Instead of your COGS being $10 times 100, that's $1,000. So it's a lot more cost effective if your COGS are cheaper. But I would still recommend this route. Any product specifically for women in between the age of 25 and 40 is going to be a gold mine there's no shortage of quality influencers within that space, right? There's so many. And so you're going to be able to find, and that's what they do on a day-to-day basis, right? They're posting about their life. They're posting about their livelihood. They're posting about these products that integrate well in their life through video content. Products for men at times have proven to be a little bit harder, just transparently and candidly, that when you try to get men, there's less men out there in comparison to women between the ages of 25 and 40 that are posting nonstop about their life and the products that integrate well into that.
I got a little clue here in for you on this one. Men aren't that interesting.
but the case that we're going to go through today is actually for men. So okay. I would say excluding fitness products, because trainers are always posting content constantly. So fitness products is a great opportunity with men. But a lot of the other categories don't match up to the women in the same way.
Well, now you mentioned the case study that we want to go through a couple of times. Let's do that. I know it's for Animal House Fitness, and kind of take me through, you know, what their goal was, how you guys helped them solve that problem, and what the results were.
Yeah. So Animal House Fitness, basically, I'll just speak to real quick some of the high numbers. They were able to scale from 0 to 1 million over the course of 4 months. They became one of Shopify's fastest growing companies at the end of last year, and they launched in October. Basically through the strategy of seeding in tandem with paid media on Facebook ads specifically, those are the only two channels they had running, they were able to do that. And at this point, they're about 8 months into the life cycle of their business. And through the seeding strategy, they've had 1,002 influencer profiles post about their brand, in total 3,197 pieces of media. Obviously, very specific numbers. I'm literally looking at the report right now. But a lot of influencers, a lot of media assets. And again, a majority of that is then being repurposed into paid media on Facebook ads. And Jason, I know you agree with this, and this is something that your agency is a huge proponent of, is creative. We're big believers here at Kinship that, you know, that raw, shaky, authentic content that comes from influencers creating and posting organically not only works really well when it's put in front of their followers and gators, but it's when it's repurposed in front of your audience, your target audience as a brand on behalf of the product and services you're looking to sell. It's just native to the feed, and it typically ends up being a top performing piece of content. And there's a massive, massive arbitrary opportunity around content that's created from influencers, especially when you're seeding, because at the end of the day, like I'm saying, a lot of the time it's free of cost if you go about it the right way.
Right. So now Animal House Fitness, I know you, I was really shocked to see the numbers, because I have some older numbers here, obviously, than you have in front of you. But I did the math on the number of influencers who posted versus the number of influencers that were seeded or you sent product to. And the conversion rate there was like 63%, which is, to me, incredible and kind of a no-brainer, depending upon, you know, how much the product was. Tell me a little bit more about the product. It was Monkey Feet, right? That was the product. What was that?
Yeah, I mean, this strategy worked incredible, right, for Monkey Feet. But let's give credit where credit is due. This product was absolutely phenomenal for the season that we were in, right? So what Monkey Feet is basically a product that attaches to your foot, and then it allows for an attachment to a dumbbell for you now to lift dumbbells with your feet, with your legs.
Okay.
So not only can you lift dumbbells with your arms, but now you can lift dumbbells with your legs. It has that attachment for you. And what an incredible product to launch amidst COVID. At home, quarantine, at home fitness products were skyrocketing. And here is this new patented technology that, I mean, when you send this out, it's built to go viral. It's built to be posted. Holy moly, what is this? This is new. This is cool. I want to share this with my audience. And it's like an $80 product AOV. Like, it's not some like $5 pen that we're sending them. So the post rate skyrocketed and the opt-in skyrocketed. Yeah, we reached out. In the most up-to-date report, we have 1,625 profiles that we seeded product to. And then, you know, just over 1,002 I ultimately ended up posting. If you heard in the beginning, we typically say we see a minimum of 30% end up post. And like you're saying, that's far, far above that. But that's why we're talking about a case study here and now. But 30% post rate is still not bad at the end of the day when sending out product for free.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, this obviously, I just want to make sure people understand, you know, the Animal House Fitness and Monkey Feed example might be on the top end of the success rate you're going to get because everything kind of worked. It was the right time. It was the right kind of product. It was the right value in the product. It was obviously the right audience. And so when everything fires the right way, seeding like this can be enormously successful for you. But even on a bad day, what you're saying is seeding products is still going to get you, you know, 20% are going to say, yes, I want it. And 30% of those people are going to post about it, which is going to get you that content out there that you can then go back and say, hey, can we put this on our channels? Can we put paid spend behind it? Which obviously gives you creative that you didn't have to spend money creating. So the value can certainly come through even when it's not working at its optimal level.
Right. I mean, just run the math, guys. Like, everyone wants to understand what's the return, what's my ROI, what's the investment, like, does this make sense for me and my team? Like, run the numbers, right? If you had 100 influencers that you're sending product to, what are the COGS? Like, we've already talked about this. Is it 10? Is it 20? Is it 30? Let's call it 20. $2,000. What am I going to get out of this? Okay, if you send your product to 100 influencers, I'm going to get 30 of them posting 60 to 90 assets. Okay, what are you getting organically from that? Let's say the 30 influencers on average have 50,000 followers. Let's say you get 60 to 90 posts. Let's say you average that out at 75. 75 posts times 50,000 followers. That's your content being posted to 3.75 million followers. Let's say a 1% click-through rate, 37,500 website visits. 1% conversion rate, 375 purchases. What's your AOV? If it's $20 COGS, you're probably looking at $60. $60 times 375 purchases, that you can expect probably around there in this hypothetical, that type of return on your organic in the immediate. Now, what's 60 to 90 assets worth to you and your unique assets worth to you and your team in content? There's the value, guys. And you got that for $2,000 in this hypothetical. I don't know if anyone out there wouldn't take that.
Right. If you translate that to what an agency would charge you to create content like that, just using, you know, Cornette or the agencies that I know and work with as an example, 60 to 90 assets, that's 3 months worth of content. And if you're going to engage with a creative agency for 3 months worth of content, you're probably going to pay upwards of 15 grand for that, 15, 20 grand easily.
And so what I typically recommend too, because when you repurpose this into paid social, that's a huge value add. And what our team typically does and what we did on behalf of Animal House Fitness is we get 60 to 90 assets in a month, right, Jason? And you can create that into, you know, well over 100 plus iterations to run as ads. But let's go with 100 as an easy example. Typically, we would have this funnel within our paid social ad accounts on Facebook where we take those 100 ads and we launch them into 10 different dynamic creative tests. Set cost caps on it wherever the CPA target was, to only allow spend if, you know, there's winning creative within that campaign, set the budgets properly, and then allow them to run. And then the cream of the crop ends up getting all the spend, speaking to the creative that ends up being the cream of the crop. And typically, a lot of the time, only three pieces of creative within each of those 10 campaigns ended up getting a majority of the spend, whereas the others, you know, proved to not be able to hit that cost cap that we had set, not hitting that CPA target that the brand had in mind. And then we would repurpose, you know, three of the top performers times 10, 30 top performing pieces of content into top performing campaigns at that point, three top performing DCTs, and then repurpose it into retargeting as well. And then as seeding content continued to come in, rinse and repeat. And that's exactly how we scaled from zero to a million over 4 months through organic influencers in tandem with paid media. That was our only source of creative that we ran in paid social simultaneously with these seeding efforts.
That's outstanding. So let's talk about the tech stack that makes all this happen, because it's not just as simple as reaching out to a bunch of influencers and saying, can I send you some product? There's some logistical things that have to happen here to make this work. I looked at, you know, some things that you were talking about on Twitter one day about the tech stack, and I think you guys start out with Tagger, do you not?
We do. Jason, you do your research, man. I like it.
Well, you know, Tagger sponsors the show. I love Tagger. So
I saw that. I did see that.
When I know someone's using it, I'm definitely going to tee you up to talk about it because it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Tagger's great. I'm a big advocate and a big proponent of them. If you're familiar with the influencer marketing space, you probably heard of Grin. You probably heard of Aspire IQ. And they're great platforms, don't get me wrong. But for identification purposes, Tagger is the most robust, and they continue to only expand their capabilities. So when we get on phone calls with brands, and we have a kickoff call, and they download us on, you know, all that quantitative data that we need to go find the right people that they'll ultimately be confident in to be flag bearers of their community and of their products and services and of their brand, Tagger is phenomenal. And then it makes it very simple to implement our white glove approach to see who are the best video content creators on that platform as well. It's a great platform. We personally use it for the identification segment of that platform. It's about, you know, $1,500 to $2,000. If you want to use the entire platform as a CRM, it's more than that. But for identification purposes, again, that's what our team uses it for. And that's where they're better than the rest, 100%. But if that's a little bit much like of an expense to start, and listeners here today are thinking, I don't know yet, I want to put my toes in the water, a good alternative to Tagger. Again, Tagger is what we use. So if you go all in, that's what we would recommend. But if you're looking to test out this strategy and identifying a mass amount of influencers to reach out to put this to the test for yourself internally, I would jump on Facebook Brand Collabs Manager. Just a free tool Facebook offers at the end of the day. It's very much so in that the early stages where it's not as robust as Tagger, Grin, Aspire IQ, any of these identification platforms out there. But it is Facebook, and at the end of the day, Facebook will pour resources into this thing, and it will become bigger and better. But it also is a tool where you can plug in quantitative data and find the right people. It typically will only spit out Facebook and Instagram influencers, but as you know, Jason, you can just take that person's name, plug it into YouTube. They're probably on there as well. I'm checking out there if that's the platform you're looking to activate them on.
That's true.
And it's free. Yeah. If I didn't say that, it's free of cost. Just apply. They'll give you access within 2 weeks, and it's free of cost.
That's true. It's good. It's a good tool to use, especially if you, like Taylor said, if you don't have a lot of money to invest on the discovery on the front end, that Facebook platform is good for you. All right. Now, so you identify the folks that you want to use, and you've got this, white glove approach. So take me through the other components of, you know, sending product, of, getting them on the hook and excited about the product, and then how you quantify all the success. What's the rest of that tech stack that gets you there?
Yeah. So once we identify all of the influencers, that's when, you know, obviously we get full approval from the brand. We love all these influencers. Would you be excited if any of these people posted about you and your brand? Once we get that green light, we start that outreach that says, hey, Jason, think you're a great brand fit. We think you'd love our product. We'd love to send you it. No strings attached, all of that. And then at that point, what we're getting dialed in is an unboxing experience. Our preferred partner is ARKA, A-R-K-A. They do a great job of working with your team internally, getting your branding dialed in for the product you're ultimately going to be sending out. We would highly recommend doing an unboxing experience. We've seen, I don't have the exact numbers, but much higher post rates. And it makes sense, right? Like if I'm an influencer receiving your product in just like a standard package, cool. But if I receive this unboxing experience, it's an even greater impression, and it's building on that the momentum they've already had started by seeding them no strings attached. That unboxing experience is going to make them feel even more special in this experience with your brand. And not only that, like you have to be in the frame of mind of how do I make this more of a postable experience for this influencer? An unboxing experience checks that box. It's going to be more of a postable experience for them when they receive it, something they do want to share with their audience that made them feel special and had an impression on them. So we use ARKA for that, at that simple process, create an unboxing experience, A-R-K-A. And then to actually get the products out, a little bit of a self plug here, but we use the Kinship Seeding app. Just helps you do this at mass scale. My partner, Cody, when he was at Kalo previously to starting Kinship 2.5 years ago, basically Kalo is a silicone wedding ring that costs, 10 cents pretty much. So they were able to seed product like thousands per month very easily, which is an absolute nightmare on the back end. And that's all Cody pretty much did all day was just, he was in like with the 3PL sending out zeroed out orders all day. But that's what the Kinship Seeding app enables at mass scale very efficiently. They're able to send that out really well to influencers. So that in tandem with Arca at that step of the process. And then once we get the responses from that outreach message saying, hey, yeah, I would love it. Thank you so much. Here's my address. Let's say we reach up to 500, 100 opt in and send us their address to get product out to them. At that point, we use a tool called Mighty Scout. We plug in all 100 of those names into Mighty Scout because, again, it's worth saying here, we're not providing a tracking link to these influencers to post because that would negate the entire philosophy, right? The minute you give them a tracking link or a promo code or whatever, you know, whatever else to, in order for you to track these posts is the minute it's like, wait, oh, this was a gimmick. They didn't mean no strings attached. They didn't mean they didn't have expectations of me to post. They're giving me this posting link. So that's not a part of the equation here. That's not part of the execution of this. But by plugging them into Mighty Scout, what Mighty Scout does basically aggregates all the organic posts in real time and collects all the organic posts in real time that go live about your product or service. And typically influencers post for the first time within 2 to 3 days, you know, of receiving your product. But now, because of Mighty Scout, you don't have to have someone on your team like scouring the internet 24/7. For when people post about your brand, Mighty Scout collects that in real time, all the organic analytics around it. And my favorite part personally is I'm able to download the influencer's content within that platform and then very easily reformat it into 9x16, 1x1 Facebook ad placement purposes, get a caption, create iterations of it, and take it live. So as you know, following up for usage rights and then saying, hey, can you send over that content to me? That's just such a time suck and so much labor. And at that point, the influencer actually feels like they're giving you something and it starts to feel a little bit more transactional. And now I can just download that content right from Mighty Scout and it's very easy and efficient. But that's the entire tech stack right there, A through Z.
Well, and Mighty Scout, incidentally, was also a sponsor of this show. When we were getting started, actually, they were one of the first sponsors that came to the table to help us get Winfluence off the ground. So, you know, you're working with some good people there.
I love it. Yeah, Joe Anderson over there is a really close friend of mine. And great guys, quality guys over there.
Yeah, we appreciated working with them, and I appreciated their tool. It was when I got my hands on it, I was like, wow, this is both lightweight and robust at the same time. It does a lot, but it's not complicated. The user experience there is really good. So go check out mightyscout.com too if you guys want to see what that platform's all about. So I guess the next big question here is the future of influence marketing. Obviously for you guys is going to be promoting this concept of seeding and getting people to sort of organically do this. But the industry as a whole obviously has other options, other tiers, bigger influencers, et cetera. Where do you see seeding products fitting into the overall approach for brands moving forward? Is it going to be a bigger piece of the puzzle, or is it just going to be one component of a lot of different things that might happen?
Yeah, great question. I mean, what we typically recommend, Jason, and this is where I'll come back to the initial statement of the pay-for-post model is dead, and I'm going to shed light on a little bit more. After 3 months of seeding, right, if you stuck to our hypothetical of reached out to 500, you've reached out to 1,500 after 3 months, you've seeded product to 300 at a minimum, and you've seen a minimum of 90 influencers post, 2 to 3 assets each. So 180 to 270 posts have gone live organically after 3 months, and you've repurposed a majority of that into paid media. Every 3 months, every quarter, we typically recommend brands, hey, let's dissect and analyze who are the top performers here. And let's go who worked best organically, who worked best in paid media, whose content crushed, et cetera, all of that. Let's go back to the, you know, top 5 to 10 and now engage in the pay for post model. Then and only then. Why? They've proven to be a genuine product adopter. These people posted free of cost. They granted usage rights free of cost. What does that mean? They're under no contractual obligation to post about your product. That means they authentically love your product. And while that's the most oversaturated, redundant word used in our industry, authenticity, it remains true. You want that. People can see through the fake. It bleeds through the screen. And I think people unconsciously know, that probably was just someone that created content, you know, on a UGC platform, or somebody got paid to do it, or this was an influencer that got paid to do this, etc. People can see through it. So one, they prove to be a genuine brand ambassador. Two, if an influencer genuinely loves your brand, your product, your service, they're going to do things for much, much cheaper. And then three, they've already proven to be a top performer and influencer of your brand. So at this point, we do believe in the pay for post model. Contractualize those influencers to greater deals that entail organic activations on a month-to-month basis and content creation on a month-to-month basis. But I would recommend doing this. So where does seeding fit into the greater picture? I think you should do seeding as a brand every month. It's the top of the funnel that will create mass organic distribution and mass content creation for you. But then every 3 months, or however, if it's every month, whatever it is for you and your brand, consistently dissect and analyze the people that are ultimately ending up posting for your brand, and go deeper with the top performers, and just continuously do that. And you're going to be building out this community of influencers around your brand in a very robust, cost-effective, efficient way.
Super smart approach. And I love the fact that that you say, you know, seeding is not the only way. It's actually the foundational piece that gets you to the other things that you can unlock in a more robust influencer marketing strategy. Super smart stuff, Taylor. Taylor, where can people learn more about Kinship and find you on the interwebs?
Great place to follow along, what Jason alluded to over Twitter. My partner, Cody Wittick, a great person to follow. As well. And then myself, Taylor Lagasse, and then my man, Jason here, of course, as well. And then, kinship.co, kinship with a Y, .co, is our website that you can check us out on.
I just want you to know, I'm claiming, because the kinship is spelled KYNSHIP, I'm claiming, that to everyone that I introduce it to, that it's from Kentucky originally, just for the record.
That's fine. It's a great place, man. As long as you take me to the Derby.
Ooh, that's a tough ticket to get, but we'll see what we can do. Taylor, man, thanks so much for the time today.
Appreciate you having me on, Jason. Thanks so much. It's a pleasure.
Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is presented by my book, Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. Get your copy online at winfluencebook.com. While you're there, sign up for the latest ideas about influence marketing delivered in my monthly newsletter, or book me to speak to your company or organization about influence marketing. If you or someone you know is an influencer, a brand manager that uses influence marketing, or one of the many amazing people working in the influence marketing services world, and they would make a good guest for the show, email me at jason@jasonfalls.com. Our theme music is One More Look by the K-Club and Grammy Award-winning producer Jaquire King. Thanks for listening, and remember, when it's not about the person, but about results, it's Winfluence.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.